Choir got us started well. It is Singing Sunday. How exciting, huh? For those of you that don't know what Singing Sunday is, it's our annual tradition, the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving, to have all music. I don't know if you've caught this, if you've been out of church any length of time, but sometimes the sermons can run a little long, like 40 to 50 minutes, and at times on those Sundays, we've got a closing song planned that ends up being cut, and so we planned a couple years back that, wait a second, what if we have a Sunday on the calendar where it's not the song that gets cut, but the sermon that does, and that is this Sunday that's developed into our annual tradition of Singing Sunday, that last Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. Why this Sunday? The Sunday leading up to Thanksgiving, because singing and Thanksgiving go together. This is what the Bible says about the two. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and following, it says this: "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of Jesus Christ." We're to sing, coupled with thanksgiving, our praises to God. And so this service, we've done it a variety of ways in years to come. This year, what we've selected for the songs is the favorite songs by those on the worship team and those that play the organ throughout the duration of the year. And so you'll notice next to each and every song selected, there's a little asterisk that says what member of the worship team or the organist has selected that song, with the exception of this first song. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's just simply our warm-up song. Don't want anyone pulling a voice box today, okay? So we're going to warm up into this by singing together. It is a good thing to give thanks, and then there'll be plenty of music following after that. You ready for Singing Sunday? Let's warm it up. It is a good thing to give thanks. Let's sing it together. You may remain seated, no pulling muscles from the start, but we will lift up our voice in praise to Him. Jesus. Nothing pulled initially, right? Feeling warm? Feeling into it? Let's be reminded of the songs through Scripture. Singing comes up with the faith repeatedly in the biblical book there, and it creeps up very early. First two chapters in Scripture record some songs in Scripture. First of those is God. In this work of creation, He sings over that creature that is you and me, male and female, the human beings He made, when in Genesis 1:27 it says this: "God said, God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them." He had plans, purposes, a place for these creatures that He crafted and created. And it goes in poetic form, prose form, in Genesis 1:27. The very first time us humans lift up our voice in song in Scripture is at a wedding day between the male and the female, between Adam and Eve in Genesis 2. It's the man singing over his bride when he says this: "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Singing prose turns up very early on in Scripture. And so these opening two songs, "New Wine" and "Come to the Water," remind us of the newness that God is forming, as well as the open invitation for all of us to come to Him, like coming to the water. It's a Kathy Belfiore song and a John Pickering song. I want to invite you to stand as you're able. Let's lift up our voices together in music to Him.
In the soil I now Jesus, bring new wine.
Church, you may be seated, but don't get used to it today. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I want you to take out your red hymnal and open up to page Roman numeral 7. Not page 7, but the Roman numeral 7. That's a VII. And in that, you'll find John Wesley has written some instructions for the communities known as Methodists in 17th century England. John Wesley would be the founder of the Methodist movement, and it was a singing movement as well as a biblical movement in 17th century England. He proposes some directions for singing on page V11, and I just want to point out two of those rules Wesley had for the Methodists, for the singing people. Rule number 4, check this one out. Wesley's instruction to this movement known as Methodism says, sing lustily and with good courage. You'll be a passionate people singing with good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep. Never in church, right? Don't sing as if you are half dead or half asleep, but lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor ashamed of its being heard, than when you sang the songs of Satan. Translation, if you sing top lung in the shower, you better be doing it in church as well. It is worth it, what we're singing, and letting it seep down into our soul through singing. One other rule I want to point out, and that's the last one. It really highlights why we do what we do each and every week here, not just singing Sunday. Rule number 7 says this: above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing and see that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offered to God continually. So when you're singing, be such as the Lord will approve here and reward you when He cometh in the clouds of heaven. We sing with a direction in mind, and it's not what the person next to us is hearing or not hearing. It's with a heart and with a voice lifted up to Him. And so never forget why we do what we do each and every week here together. There's a next song in Scripture found in Exodus 15. In this passage, the people of Israel are trying to leave their past and inherit what God has opened before them. The past was 400 years in Egypt. What lies before them is God's promised land upcoming, but just one problem. There's a big block of water known as the Red Sea before them, and the past keeps trying to hunt them down. Pharaoh and his army breathing down their backs. And in this moment in Exodus 15, God parts the waters before them. They're able to walk through, and when Pharaoh and his army tries to do the same, God does a salvation work of freeing them from the past and freeing them to move forward in the future, which prompts a song by some of the leaders of God's people found in Exodus 15, and we will read just a brief of that. Exodus 15, verse 19 says this: when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. Both horse and driver He's hurled into the sea." And actually, the next chapter, it records a much longer version of this song, but it's a song of salvation, a reminder that we serve a way maker God. And so our next song is going to point to that way-making salvation of God. It's a song selected by Jeannie Miller and Michael J. Black that we want to sing together next. And so I want to invite you once more, if you're able, to stand with us and let's sing to him, this way-making God that we serve.
You are here.
Now, I don't want this one half dead or half awake here. Amen? Good. You may be seated. I do this reluctantly here because I don't know if it's in our name or what, but Sunday we are going to dismiss to Wiggly Worship at this time, and that girl is bringing it today. I'm getting the privilege of just seeing you sing, and Sunday certainly is singing on this Sunday. So well done, Wigglies, there, but we are going to dismiss for age-appropriate worship at this time, and so any child ages 0 through 6th grade is dismissed for Wiggly Worship, and as our Wigglies are making their way for age-appropriate worship, we've got Marie and Mel coming forward with a little update on the Facilities Committee as well as the Capital Campaign. And so if you would.
Good morning. I'm Mel Miller. I was served as co-chair of the Facilities Committee. Marie heads up our finance. It being All Singing Sunday, we thought maybe we would sing our presentation. But we were nervous that we would get the award for the worst singers of people who stand up front here, Justin. So anyway, all right, let's talk about the construction we went through. You may remember we did a lot of surveys and meetings to get kind of focused in on what we wanted to do. So we ended up with a series of projects for this. The West Addition, don't worry, there's going to be a lot of numbers. Afterwards, I've got a handout you can get, and we'll give you a test next week. West Addition is the Life Center. We upgraded the restrooms, added restrooms. Kitchen got an upgrade. The playground had to be moved so we could build the Life Center. As you know, that's out front. During the project, then we added something we're calling the IT/AV, better known as Information Technology / Audiovisual / Lance. And if you've been in the Life Center, you know we got, how many TVs do we have, Lance? 5, there we go, good. And then we set a contingency because some of the stuff we were getting into is remodeling type stuff and sometimes it's hard to hold the budget. So how did it turn out? Won't run down through all the numbers, but down at the bottom, you'll see a number, 736,000 and something, compared to 744. We ended up almost $8,000 under the budget. So that all went well. And I wanted to say a couple things. The construction went well. Jim Shelley in the congregation kind of supervised, oversaw the contractors, and if you've ever been involved with that or doing something at home, it's a little bit like herding cats or something. Did a great job. So we ended up there.
I mentioned this in the first service as well. I've done construction work for 20 years as well, doing the accounting side, and never had one under budget. So there you go. All right, so the next one is, this is where the sources of the money were going to come from. We had an endowment fund at Edward Jones, and what we did was we took the interest or the growth off of that and had pledged 200 of that toward this project. The capital campaign, we had $437,000 pledged over our 3-year time period. We also had an additional endowment that we earmarked for the IT and the AV at $30,000. We had anticipated that we were going to be short. Those of you that have been here since the 2020, remember, we talked about a bank mortgage, we are maybe having a mortgage, or that we'd have to borrow money throughout the process. We do have that facility set up at First National Bank. We did take out an initial $150. We took it out probably March of last year. The current balance is down to $70,000, as you can see there, so we have been paying it off. As the pledges continue to come in, we are paying that down. And obviously, since the construction is done, there'll be no additional cost. So as the pledges continue to come in, we should be able to pay that off by the end of the pledge period, which is good news. So the total funds that we had pledged were $736,000 between the endowment and the capital campaign. So this is where we're actually at as of the end of October, I believe. That we did take the $200,000 from the endowment fund of the growth. From the IT and AV endowment, we spent $29,000 of that. Now, the capital campaign donations have come in. We've raised over $400,000, which is, I mean, just spectacular. I think all of us are feeling very blessed and grateful that we're that far ahead, especially given, you know, the conditions that we've been in for a year. We weren't even in church, and the pledges continue to come in. So thank you very much for that. In that capital campaign donation amount of $407,000, there's about $11,500 that were unpledged. So people have been giving who hadn't originally pledged, either new to the church or just giving as they could. So we appreciate those as well. So as you'll see, our total collected through October is $636,000. Which is $100 different to what the total cost was. We still have a pretty good pledged amount through 2022, and we think we should be able to close that gap, and hopefully by the end of 2022, we're praying that we won't have to take out a mortgage. So we committed to next year through the quarters, through at the end of March, you know, all the four quarters of 2022, giving you guys updates so you can see where we are as we progress through the final year of the campaign. But thank you all very much, and I personally want to thank Linda Walker and Linda Netcher. They've been very diligent in tracking this weekly, and their help is greatly appreciated. So thank you, Linda.
Okay, bottom line, construction stayed within budget. Pledges are coming in ahead of schedule. Even people that didn't pledge are giving. Thank you. I was looking back, and I did this at the first service, and I never mentioned the word that you sort of did, pandemic. We did this during the pandemic. I mean, there was a point, if you remember, we weren't even meeting in here. Last July of 20, we were at a point where we were had to make a decision whether we were going to move ahead or wait, because this pandemic was still is kind of a goofy issue. We took a vote and said, this is what God wants us to do, and so we moved ahead, and I thank that. Thank all of you for everything you've done, and we'll continue. You know, when we started this, we had several reasons why we wanted to do some of the things, restroom, but the Life Center was a big one. Wiggly worship, small groups, birthday parties, it could be used for a lot of things, but the big one was the group of youth that we had coming up to the teenage years, that we really wanted to have a facility for them. It's worked out great. Example, as you know, they've started a youth program for the grades 6 through 12, really being well attended. And if you remember last Sunday night, they did a Thanksgiving thing. So based how many kids had been coming, they set aside so much food. Well, the kids, and they're inviting their friends too. So many kids came that Justin was almost going to do the two fish and five loaves thing for the food. But it all worked out. And that's great. That's what we were hoping for. So thank you again for your support. Yeah, the Life Center's working out almost perfectly. You're going to hear more about that later.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Mel, there. And thank you, congregation, as they give the update. Heading into the final year, 2022 will be the final year of the capital campaign, and that's where we're at currently to date. Mel, yes? Following the service, Mel will be in the lobby area if you'd like those specific numbers or to have a specific question. He can field them at that time. He's not going to give me the out of this next one. He talks about the Life Center and what's going on. I walked in the church this morning before the first service and was handed a microwave bag filled with popcorn. And here's the story of how it goes down, okay? I told you, back to silent auction days, as we're auctioning off items in October, that on November the 19th was going to be an unforgettable evening. You had the chance for an evening with my family, pizza party, as well as popcorn and other events in the Life Center that you could have bid on. And I said, it's going to be great. You don't know what to expect. Well, fast forward to Friday, when the day of the event was, and here comes rolling into the Life Center this. That's a fire truck taken from the Life Center window, or close up to that. What went down at the party that you had an opportunity to bid on, that the Becks and the Bakers were privileged to be at, was burnt popcorn. Burnt popcorn, apparently, when you burn the first batch there, the preacher thought he knew how to work the fire system to disengage that aroma that was setting off some alarms in the fire in the Life Center area. And so I disengaged it, only to see about 5 minutes later a series of trucks from our volunteer fire department pulling in, followed by the big red truck with the lights blaring. And so that unforgettable evening truly was unforgettable that you had the opportunity to be in. Pro the silent auction with that at hand, it gave me a reminder and a realization to be grateful for those that make up our community, including our first responders. That was a false alarm, but I felt like a heel, as you can imagine, ruining their Friday evenings, pulling in for that, and yet it's what they do so many times on so many occasions, whether real or not real, on behalf of our community. And so there's sources of thanksgiving, not least of which is that the Life Center is still standing so that Marie and Mel could give the announcement this morning, huh? Always excitement going on in the Life Center. Some more positive excitement. Mel makes mention of the Friendsgiving and the youth group. Games were had by ages grades 6 through 12 last week. The game of spoons was one of the games played in one of the classrooms of the Life Center. They rolled in the fellowship hall sweet potatoes as a part of a relay race, and they had a station where they would write out what they were grateful for in another one of the classrooms at the Life Center. And of course, there was feasting that took place, a big feast. I shared with you that the bird was prepared. That's the end of the bird. Any guesses of what the bird was? I said it wasn't going to be the traditional bird of Thanksgiving. Any guesses what that bird was that the youth feasted on? Chicken nuggets. What other bird are you going to feed for the youth? Grade 6 through 12, that was to their liking. And so a truly fun time that was had. That was Friendsgiving, the special event last week. This week, reminder, is youth group, our usual meeting time from 5:30 until 7 in the Life Center, where we will have food, we will have fun, and we will feast on our faith as well as we grow and mature to what Jesus is calling us into in this life. Another opportunity for young and old alike on Thanksgiving Day. A small group of us gather on the backyard of the church lot, and you are welcome to come as well. We play backyard football, two-hand touch, to work off the bird before we feast on the bird later that day. And so that will begin at 9 a.m. Thanksgiving Day for any that would like to play a backyard game of football. We will be done by around 10:15 for your family planning events too. And so 9 to 10:15 Thanksgiving Day morning if you're interested in playing some backyard football. That was the shoe boxes that were packed following the service. And so if you were pulling in, seeing the boxes that were collected both in the community and in this church, they are distributed and soon to be going around the world as a part of Operation Christmas Child. And last but not least, this evening, this afternoon at 1 or tomorrow at 5, those youth that signed up to take part in the youth worship team, there's an informational meeting that Kathy had reached out to you about. But those two meeting dates, just as a reminder, is this afternoon at 1 or tomorrow at 5 p.m. to attend one of those to move the ball forward into what youth music ministry is going to look like for the youth in those departments. We want to, speaking of music ministry, be lifting up our voices together for this next song. They're songs of childhood. This one, The Church's One Foundation, is a song picked out by Will Cummings that he remembers singing fondly as a youth growing up in church. And the second series of songs are songs that Christine Turner thinks of fondly as she sings to her grandkids that are at her home or as she's putting them down for naps. And so these songs recall us back to childhood in some way, shape, or form. Church's One Foundation is first. I invite you, those who are able, to stand and let's lift up our voices together in music. Sing through the sorrow? Can we sing through moments of tears? That's the question that's posed to faith. And there's a response to that in our book of faith. The book known as the Bible records a small book in it that's entitled Lamentations. Lamentations means lament, means sorrow, it means crying. And it's a book of songs through tears, songs through sorrows. We're going to read a small portion towards the end of that book of Lamentation that asks God the tough questions through tears, but reminds us that faith can sing even in the tough days of life. And so Lamentations 5, verse 15 and following says this: "Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. From Mount Zion, which lays desolate, with jackals prowling all over it. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return and renew our days as of old, unless they've utterly been rejected and are angry with us beyond measure." And the answer is that God does answer, though through the sorrow and through the tears. That books preserve, that ask the tough questions, even in God's word, to help us give a voice in those sorrowing times of our life. These next songs we're picking out with kind of that intent in mind. It's Brina's song, "It's Even When It Hurts," followed by a David Dominey song, "Rock of Ages Cleft for Me." You may remain seated. Let's just sit and soak and be reminded, even in our sorrow, there's a place for a song of God, even when it hurts. Brina, if you would. Pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a God who can cover the gamut. You are a God like we're reminded through one of those songs in Scripture in Psalm 23 that leads us to the green pastures and the still waters in life. but you're also that God who walks with us even through the valley of the shadow of death. Everything in between, Lord, you are journeying with us, alongside us, helping us, directing us, pointing us, being that one that we can weep in and worship to. And so we give you thanks for that, Lord. Help us to take this journey of life and faith by leaning into you, being reminded in the music, Lord, of who you are and what you're up to and what you're producing in our midst, even when it hurts. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name. And his people said, amen. Amen. This next song reminds us that God is a rock, even in the clefts and the storms in life. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. It's a David Dominey selected song. And so lift it up with me in singing. You may remain seated, but sing together. Rock of Ages. Storyline of Scripture is that there is pain often before gain. That's often a cliche tossed out there, but it's the Christian journey. There's a cross before the crown. There is that Good Friday before Easter Sunday. And yet it's in all of that to not forget the hope that we truly do have as believers, whatever that journey is. And so one of the closing songs in Scripture is found in that last book of the Bible, Revelation 19, where it points us to what's next, where God is on the throne and what God has for his people for all of eternity. And so let me read this for you, found in the pages of God's word. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder shouting. And this is the song. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. The fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then he added, these words are true words of God. We've got a place we're headed. We're an invited people. God sent that invitation to all, and yet by faith we RSVP for what he's got in store for eternity. We are invited into this joining an eternal song of hallelujah to God. And so our closing songs are going to point to this invitation of God to us and what God's got in store for God's people for all of eternity. Victory in Jesus is the opening song. It is a Nathan's favorite. It is a Dottie Pickering favorite. It is one of my favorites as well. Followed by Home, that would be a Lance Rectanis favorite. And in our closing song then, I'm going to have to look myself. Ode to Joy Gene, that's stepping in for Dottie here behind the organ. Gene picked Ode to Joy, which is better known as Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. All songs that point us to what's next, even as we entrench in this journey on this earth. So you got it for the big finish? Are you ready? Three deep breaths. We've got the marathon in store, but we're singing about where we're headed. And so I invite you, stand as you're able. Lift up your songs. Let's remember where we're headed. Victory in Jesus. Gene.
Yeah. every chain is broken.
But keep lifting up your voice in music. Ode to joy. Ode to joy. Good to remember we got a triumph song in life, this life and eternal life. Amen? Isn't singing Sunday fun? Reminder why we do this. Singing connected to Thanksgiving and the week that we're coming in. Sing and make music to your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing because we got one to sing to, and that connection is with Thanksgiving in mind. We're going to close the service a little bit differently today. I just invite you to stay seated for the postlude. This would be a song picked out by Tyler Watson. It's a singing of the blessing, and so allow this to be God's benediction over you as we head into Thanksgiving week. So hang tight. After the song, you are dismissed.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Go following Jesus. Worship team.